Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, the game on this Tuesday. Mike McCoy just introduced as the interim head coach of the Titans, and we bring in Tim Hasselbeck now, head coach at Innsworth and also ESPN NFL analyst. Timmy, what's up? How you doing?
I'm doing great. Hey, listen, you can only bump me for head coaches. So Mike got promoted. Like, that was an acceptable move by you guys.
Have you played for him, worked with him, know him, any connection?
I feel like that was a bit of a shot at my journeyman career.
I know. I'm sorry.
You know, but he was actually the quarterback coach of the Carolina Panthers when I was there. I just remember at the time we kind of bonded a little bit. He had been in Philadelphia's training camp as a player. And I remember when I was in Philadelphia, which was prior to being in Carolina, the guys that were there, Corey Detmer, Donovan McNabb, like guys like that, like Corey Detmer was talking about how he's like, you knew that guy was going to be a coach because, after our install meetings and our practice, like we'd watch film and all that, he would like all of his notes that he had taken from practice, like that he was, he's trying to make the team and all that stuff. He would go back to the room and he would transcribe them back into like a master notebook that he was keeping for when he became a coach. He's like, so it was just like one of those things that like, even as a player, everybody knew it was just a matter of time before he ended up coaching.
So Brian Callahan gets fired yesterday. Joe and I were in Vegas. We were in the press conference. We were in the locker room. You could, you know how it is. Like when things aren't going well, you can feel it. You can see it. It's all those things. And you could just tell he was out of answers. So I wasn't that surprised. But what was your thoughts when you got the news that he was out? Oh, no.
What happened? I don't say I want to say I was surprised. I think I don't know. I have some friends like on the Penn State staff. Like,
hey Tim, we're gonna put you on hold. The reception's a little bit bad, and we want to hear. Obviously, want to hear what you're saying here. So we'll put you on hold real quick and see if we can fix that.
Get Tim a sponsorship here on the Chasing Big Joe show of.
Well, he's over there in the west wing of his palatial estate, and so
he's in the bunker at Innsworth, right?
or he's at
so
Innsworth.
Any of you phone carriers want to sponsor a segment with Tim Hasselbeck, let us know. All right, he's back. All right,
let's try again. Tim, we wanted to hear your answer. So
yeah, that's pretty cool that AT&T just decided to sponsor their segment. I appreciate the quick work on that stuff. That's really good. It's big time. Yeah, was I surprised? Like, I'm not surprised because of the record. I think I'm just surprised in general. If I go back, I thought he was a good hire. I think generally speaking, he's a good coach. And it's unfortunate that, sometimes good coaches get to an environment and for whatever the reason, it just doesn't click. And it didn't work. They're a bad football team. And I think it's probably safe to say is like right now, they're the worst team in the NFL. That's disappointing, especially when, it was just a few years ago that they were a pretty good football team, probably heading in the right direction.
Tim, Chase, like we're seeing, we're out in Vegas in the locker room. And look, I know it's one game, they play many games, but it seemed to me, and I hate saying this, Tim, that none of the players seem to have any emotion that they got beat except for Jeffrey Simmons. And you've been in many locker rooms. I haven't been in as many, but losing hurts. And nobody was really upset, Tim. That's what I took away from this. What is that? Is that the coach's fault? The players? Who's to blame for that?
Yeah, I mean, I think in pro football, it's the player's fault. I mean, you have to care because the reality in pro football is you're playing for the entire league. Everybody is. Like, it doesn't matter if you're Jeffrey Simmons or if you're an undrafted rookie free agent. Like, you're playing for the entire league. So, it is about personal pride. It is your profession when you get to pro football. Now, can you do things as a coach to, try to, connect with, you know, being on a team and accomplishing something more, like you absolutely still can in pro football. You know, I thought it was interesting listening to Sean Payton after they beat the Eagles a couple weeks ago. You know, he was talking about, you know, the team effort and, you know, beating the, you know, what people thought was the best team in the NFC and the defending Super Bowl champion and, you know, you all the cars and the watches and the like, that stuff doesn't matter, but, you know, you'll never forget like moments like that. And so can you tap into that stuff? You can, but whose responsibility is it? Like, look, these are adults.
Yeah.
You know, they're not kids. Like, and it's your profession. So I think it starts with the players and just their desire and understanding of the magnitude of what it means for their career.
Plus, if the Sean Payton story, I don't know if you heard this or not, but after the game, allegedly, he made the team bus after they won drive through downtown Philly, and, like, you just beat the city. And it was just like this emotional, like, we won this game. They didn't think we could. I don't know. I think that's kind of ballsy. I liked it like that, but I understand what you're talking about. But, I asked Brian Callahan, Tim, I was like, are you mad or frustrated? And he gave me an answer that my son gave me in eighth grade when he, you know, made an F in science. It's like, well, I kind of let you down. And I'm like, get mad. Get upset about this. And I'm not sure that's in his DNA. And if not, Tim, that's okay. But I needed to see some sort of passion. I saw none of that.
Well, if your son's not good at science, it's in his DNA. That's your fault, okay?
Right, so I get just, that.
Can we start there?
That's true.
It's your fault,
yes.
If we're speaking of DNA. I mean, look, there's a part of me where I think this was in motion before the weekend. And in terms of Brian Callahan being let go, I ran into a few people in town. I feel like it was in motion before the game. And so I do think sometimes, like, when you're getting like a, you know, an on the way out, you know, thing, it's, you know, writing scene on the wall, it almost like delayed news a little bit. And so I think that's why you don't see like the fire and the passion. I think it's more just like the disappointment of, you know, why didn't this work? Because the reality is, like, you know, what they're doing, you know, what they were trying to do were things that were done in Cincinnati that were successful, things that were done at the Raiders that were successful, you know, when his dad was there. Like those were the things that were being done. And so, or at the Jets when his dad was there and they were successful. Like, those were the things that they were trying to use as building blocks. And those things have proven records, like proven success. And so when you don't have those, it's like you can kind of be scratching your head of like, man, why didn't this work?
No, I agree. And, you know, and I'll tell you, Sunday, Tim, Cam looked terrible. I mean, dropping the ball.
Yep.
I mean, he looked like he hadn't been coached on Sunday. And I think he took a massive step backwards. Am I wrong in that?
No, I think that's a good assessment. You know, I don't know if it's a massive step back, but he did not look good. And I think, you know, one of the things that happens when you're not having success is you start to stop trusting, you know, the things that you're being coached to do, right? So if what you're being coached to do is leading to success, then guys buy into it even a little bit more and trust it a little bit more. But when you're being coached to do something and you're not having success with it, the tendency is to kind of start to go outside of that. And it's just a hard way to have success in the National Football League. In fact, I'd argue that you can't. So I felt like you saw elements of that in his play this past weekend. And I think that's dangerous and disappointing. And that's one of the things Mike McCoy is going to be tasked to do, is basically say, like, okay, look, here's the deal. Like, you – like, this is going to go one of two ways. Like, you're just going to kind of backyard football this and see how it goes, or you can try to improve. And I'm not sure which way it'll go.
Tim Hasselbeck is with us here on the Chase and Big Joe Show. All right, so I'm going to just throw a few names out there, and you tell me why or why not they would be, you know, if they're a fit for this team. Mike McCarthy's name is going to be at the top of everybody's list because he's the most – you know, he's got a Super Bowl win and probably the best available of former head coaches. Fit or no fit?
He's a fit. He's also a good quarterback developer. He's been around a lot of good quarterbacks, knows how to coach the position. you know, like you said, proven track record. Look, it didn't work in Dallas, but like they've become a better team, you know, like under his leadership, and then obviously they've carried on. So absolutely Mike McCarthy, and he still wants to coach, so it is a fit.
Did it not work in Dallas, or did Jerry make it not work in Dallas?
Yeah, I mean, like what I would say in Dallas, like Dak played well. Like, you know, Dak was hurt a couple times when he was there. I just – listen, you know, they didn't win a Super Bowl, but sure. Like there was a bunch of teams in the NFC that didn't win the Super Bowl. Like he didn't – I don't think that he left Dallas in a worse place than he found it, and he had to navigate through a bunch of injuries.
Okay, that's fair. Arthur Smith.
Yeah, I think absolutely a fit. You know, has, you know, head coaching experience, has history with the organization, is doing a really good job in Pittsburgh right now. I think absolutely a guy that could get another opportunity.
What do you think went wrong for him in Atlanta? Do you truly think he ever got the quarterback, you know, or got an opportunity with a quarterback, knowing that they drafted a guy that already had questions coming out?
Yeah, no, they didn't. They didn't have a quarterback. They, and quite frankly, they drafted quarterbacks later in rounds that just weren't end up going to be, you know, good players. And I don't know that the team necessarily, you know, had a ton of talent on it as it was. So, you know, you don't have the quarterback and you don't have the supporting cast. Like, it's going to be hard to be successful. I think that, you know, like sometimes, like, you know, the situation you find yourself in, like maybe isn't necessarily ripe for success. And I would think that personnel wise, they didn't have that. So look, Dan Quinn ended up getting, you know, fired from there, right? Like it just sometimes, like, you know, with the way it goes in terms of your talent didn't work out. He seems to be doing fine now. So I would think that Arthur Smith is a guy that would deserve, and in the way that he's respected around the league, I would think at some point he gets another opportunity.
So I said earlier in the show that I really don't want the next guru. I want a head coach. I want someone that's going to come in and be kind of like Vrabel was, be the CEO, be the head coach, and bring in his coordinators. But I will throw this name out there because I know he's going to probably get a job, Joe Brady.
Maybe. You know, I think because of because he's done a good job multiple spots, you know, with quarterbacks, I think that he's an interesting, you know, guy to talk to. You know, for that reason, I don't believe, like if I'm playing the fit, no fit game, you know, I would say no fit. I think what the Titans need is a complete culture change. Like you need somebody that is going to change the culture, like to, you know, to kind of the thing Joe was talking about in terms of, do the guys care? You know, like you need, like Sean Payton is a culture changer. Like he comes in and he changes it. It's like, wait, you have an office and a locker room? No, you don't. Not anymore. Like I'm changing the culture here and there's going to be a standard that's different than what you guys have been used to. So I think that, I don't think that that's what it is, which is probably why you have the feeling of, hey, I'm not just looking for like the hottest coordinator right now. I'm looking for somebody that's going to be a head coach, a CEO, somebody that honestly the fan base is going to be excited about because we're opening a new stadium. So I like if I'm playing fit, no fit, he's no fit.
Okay, so let me throw these two names out there that I don't think the fans would be excited about. They've both been head coaches and they both have failed as head coaches, but I'm playing the connection to Borgonzi. Yep. And you probably know where I'm going. Either Matt Nagy or Spagnuolo.
Yeah, Spags would be a great fit. You know, assuming that he would want to do it again. And then I think Nagy has a chance to be a fit. Is how I would say that. Has a chance to be a fit. So, like, I think they're all people that they would talk to. I think you left one out.
Okay.
I think you left an obvious one out.
Okay, hit me.
From in town.
Tim Hasselbeck?
Nope.
In town. Who am I?
Oh, in town.
Clark Lee.
Really?
I was going to tell you, like, he's done a good job with that program. He is, you know, like if you were to say, I think he is a, I think he has a lot of characteristics that are very similar to Tom Coughlin, who was a culture changer. And if you look at college football, there are a lot of opportunities in college football right now, a lot. And people are going to come calling. And he is a guy just in terms of like the things about him, in terms of organization and structure and, you know, kind of what Chase was talking about in terms of being a CEO and that type of thing. I could absolutely see it.
That I was not prepared.
I wasn't
for that.
Expecting that. I'm just going to be honest with you. And now, you know, this soundbite is going to make some rounds, but I mean, like I don't disagree with you.
But so like, but here's what I'm saying. Like, I get it. Like, and I'm not just like making the obvious connection. Like, let's pretend, for example, that the success that Vanderbilt is having, right? Let's pretend that Bill O'Brien was having that success at Boston College right now. Would Bill mm-hmm. O'Brien be a candidate?
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Now he's had head coach experience, so like, you know, maybe that's, you know, the case. But like Matt Campbell at Iowa State, if Matt Campbell was having a bunch of success in the Big 12. And, you know, it was like, oh, you know, the Bears had talked to him before. And, like, would Matt Campbell be a candidate?
You know, you got me. The Tom Coughlin comparison got me because all too often we talk about college to pro coaches. We bring up Lou Holtz, who was a disaster. Saban was a disaster. But Coughlin was very good. He was two Super Bowls, right? I mean, so he was very good. Right. I get – okay, yeah, I see this. You got me. Not bad.
Yeah, listen, I think in terms of, you know, a coach that's buttoned up, coach that's, you know – I mean, think about it, guys. Like he came to Vandy. Vandy's not very good. Like, mm-hmm. you know, they've become a, you know, a ranked team. Like, it's not in this current environment. Like, he's done a good job. Done a really good job. And so, yeah, I think that look, there's. I'm not saying that every college coach, you know, is going to end up, you know, having success in the National Football League. Look, pro coaches don't always have success, you know, and vice versa, you know, going back and forth. Like,
sure.
I don't think it's really about pro and college. I don't. I think it's about the people. I think it's about being able to identify and acquire good talent. And players that'll fit in the stuff that you're trying to do. So, you know, I don't think that, like, I just, as I kind of have thought about it since it happened, and I thought about him, it's like, yeah, look, he's had success by saying, like, all right, like, we're going to go this route on offense. It's not like he's married to doing that on offense. You know, it's not like that's been what he's done his entire career, been around. I think that it's, you know, just kind of one of those situations of like, all right, how do you compete in the league that you're in with your resources? Like, how do you do that? And, you know, he solved the problem. And the same thing's going to happen in the pros. You know, you have a salary cap, so much money you can spend. You have certain players that are currently on your roster. You're going to go sign others, and you got to try to solve the problem. And, you know, I think coaches that are super organized and can think creatively and can identify talent can have success. Like Tom Coughlin could do that, and I think they're very similar.
That's interesting. One more before you go. He's been 18 years at one position. They're having a terrible year. John Harbaugh. If he says goodbye to Baltimore,
I don't think he would leave for it. Like, I don't think it's a fit because I don't think that he would make that move.
Because I know you're a big fan.
Yeah, no, he's great. Like, and he's another guy who I think when you're a coach that it can have success with multiple quarterbacks, which he has, I think it shows that you can kind of, and multiple coordinators, which he has,
mm-hmm.
that you can kind of think outside the box a little bit and be creative. So, like, I believe that the Kansas City tree is probably the most likely scenario because there are good coaches that have come through there you know kind of like the DNA of the things that they believe in and what they've seen Andy do in Kansas City. So that makes a ton of sense. But, you know, if you're going to – listen, there's 32 of these jobs. And so when they become open, I think you need to basically, you know, scour the earth for the best possible, you know, candidates and coach for the job. And so, you know, I would think that, you know, opening a new stadium and doing all that, that it's a pretty attractive spot.
Well, I'm sure we're going to be having a lot of conversations on it, and we'll see how Mike McCoy does. Tim, thanks for the insight. Appreciate it, and thanks for moving around for us today.
Cool. All right. See you guys.
Thank you. Tim Hasselbeck joining us usually at 1 o'clock on Tuesdays. I look, I'm just going to be honest with you. Clark Lee is not somebody I've thought about. I respect and trust Tim and his judgment, and that I think everything he said was – pretty correct. If Clark wanted to make that jump, you know, is that one job he might leave Vanderbilt for?
It ain't happening.
I don't think it's happening, but I mean, what
I get it. It's great to talk about it. It sounds good, but Borgonzi, they're going after an established guy, and I think that Kansas City connection is going to be huge. And as much as I love Art Smith, I just see they're going to get somebody that they know they can talk to and will do whatever they say, and that is –
I have to pick. Caleb and Gallatin goes, Tim Hasselbeck just said he likes Clark Lee to be the next Titans head coach. Not that he thinks he will be, but he thinks he would be a good fit. Yeah, I know. We were there. We just heard that.
thank you, Caleb. Thank you for that.
More of your calls, more of your texts next. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game.